Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your grace and your mercy, and we thank you for your unfathomable love for us. Help us to open our hearts this morning to your word, Lord, and we really need your help in this particular passages here because they are so rich, and yet it's like being in a barrel of diamonds. We can't even focus on any one of them. There's so many of sparkling ones there of just relative to love. So help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So a couple of questions. What book in the Bible mentions love more than any other time? Or more than any other? Okay. What chapter in the Bible mentions love the most times per verse? Well, pretty good guess. That's where we are. Now, we've got love mentioned in 1 John 36 times. We have it mentioned in chapter 4, I think, 21 times. And there are 21 verses. So it's mentioned one for one. Now, in the whole Bible, how many verses do you have to go from love to love? In other words, love is mentioned every how many verses if you divided the number of verses by the number of loves? It's like 80.
Wow.
So we need, we have love so often here in this section that it's really hard for me to focus. I mean, it's, let's say Proverbs 3, 5, 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. That's easy to remember, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, it really is. But now when I start to remember, what can you remember about last week's study about knowing God through love? And if I ask you to write down five things you could remember, I bet you would really be taxed. I would be. And yet, there in those five verses is tremendous times of love. And today we have five more verses. We'll talk about love. And last week we talked primarily about knowing God through love. And today we're going about seeing God through love. So I'm going to read the text here and then I'm going to ask you to read it responsively. And as I read it the first time, maybe you just close your eyes and screen out all the thoughts and just listen to the word, because these words right here is God speaking to us more about love than any other part of the Bible. So if he's speaking to us often about it, there's got to be a reason. He doesn't just use it once. But there's so many different facets to love. You know, we have, of course, the love from him. We have the love to him. We have the love to one another. And these are all so critical. You have to have all of those if you're a believer. I mean, you have to be practicing all those if you're a believer. If you're not, you're not a believer because you're not getting the message. So let me just read these verses. And you just listen, and we'll read it slowly, and you can look at your notes if you want, but I think it'd be better if you just kind of close your eyes and listen the first time. Then we'll read it responsively when we're done here. But last week, we read knowing God through love, and now as we look at that, those were five verses. Now we have five verses of seeing God through love. Verse 12, no one has seen God at any time. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his heart has been perfected in us. Now, this is the first time abides is used in these five verses. It's going to be used five times in five verses. So this is an abiding, dwelling, staying, moving in, abiding. If we love one another, that's the condition. If we love one another, God abides in us. So obviously the converse of that is also true. If we don't love one another, God does not abide in us. So if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been what? Perfected in us. So you want the perfect love of God? You've got to love one another. So we have those two tied together totally in verse 12. Then we move on to verse 13. We have a by this we know. By this we know that we abide. Here again, abide. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us. So it's two parts there, that we abide in him and he in us. Those are both always critical, right? You ask anybody, do they know love? Do they know Jesus? Almost 100% will say, oh yeah, I know Jesus. And then you ask them if they are positive that Jesus knows them, and then they'll, well, how do you know that? Well, you know they're not a believer if they don't know that Jesus knows them. They don't have that relationship. But here we have, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because what? Because he has given us of his Holy Spirit. So it's the Holy Spirit that is enabling you to know that we abide in him and he in us. So another big verse there. Verse 14, and we have seen and testify. Now this is the disciple talking here, who he actually physically saw Jesus, touched him, held him. But this same verse applies to every believer, really. And we have seen and testify what? That the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. So if you don't see that and testify that, you don't know God. The gospel message, isn't it? That the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. So that's the central thing, is it not? The cross. If we take that out, we don't have the gospel. And then verse 15, whoever confesses what? That Jesus is the Son of God. Now there is a big dividing point right there in so-called Christians. There are so-called Christians out there that say they're Christians, but they don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You cannot be a true Christian unless you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. The cults do not believe that. They say they worship Jesus. They say they believe in John 3:16, for example, the Mormons, but they have a different Jesus. So they do not have Jesus as the Son of God. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, what? God abides. Here's another abides now. If we confess that, he abides in him, and also the converse is true, he in God. So this relationship is always two-way. It's got to be two-way. It's got to be God loving us and God, then us loving God in response to that love, right? Or confessing that Jesus is the Son of God. And then verse 16, and here's another, we have known. What have we known? And we have known and believed. So there's a two-part to this. This is just not knowing, but it's also believing. We have known and believe. It's past tense. We have known and believed. The love of God has for us. Do you know that? Do you believe that? Then we have the repeat of those three words which we had in the last section, and that God is love. God is love. God is love. We have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Beautiful five verses. And then the consummation of love is given to us in the next three verses we have for today. Love has been perfected. Love has been perfected, made perfect among us in what? In this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in the world. So basically what that says is no believer should fear death. If you're afraid of dying, there's something wrong with your faith. because you cannot be afraid of dying, really, unless you disbelieve that Jesus is the Son of God and died for you and is risen again from the dead and has promised, he who lives and believes in me shall never die, right? We may have boldness in the day of judgment. We need to keep in mind, I believe, always that judgment is a big part of the gospel message. It's not just God is love, but God is also just. And he will judge every single person. Now, we who have believed, we will not be judged for salvation, but we will be judged for rewards, right? In the Bema Seat judgment. We will not be concerned with the great white throne judgment, but all whose names are not written in the life, book of life, will be judged in the white throne judgment. That means they'll be cast into outer darkness forever, into torment. A hideous, hideous, hideous thought. Now, do you fear? What do you fear? Verse 18, there is no fear in love. So how fearful are you? There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. So there's nothing in our lives as believers that has anything to do with torment. It's all love. Now that's hard to get our eyes around, isn't it? Our arms around it, maybe it is for me anyway, to a degree. Perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So recognize, if I am really fearful, I have lost my witness. Oh, you ought to have my Savior. You ought to have what I have in God. And what, here I'm fearful about everything? It doesn't work, does it? But that has to be real. It can't just be words. He who fears has not been made perfect in love. And then the final statement there, we love him. Why? Because he first loved us. So those are the verses. Let's just read them now in responsiveness, and maybe it'll kind of stick a little bit better of these things. This is God speaking to us. So if you can, if you want, stand. And if you want to kneel, that's fine. I'll read the even number verses, beginning with verse 12. And when you see the highlighted bold, if you will read those, that would be glorious. Father, as we read your word, help us to just kind of grasp every syllable, in a way, every word that we have here that's from you is so precious, all about seeing you in love. Verse 12, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us.
By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit.
And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world.
Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God.
And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him.
Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world.
There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So here ends the reading of the text. Let's have a seat. Father, we just thank you for this feeding. We thank you for your word and very familiar passages to us. And it's just so much to get our eyes around. We kind of get it around one verse at a time, or maybe a half a verse at a time, and then we move on. And it's just like a 27-course meal. After about the first four courses, you can't even remember what you had. It's so rich. And yet, as we spend time meditating on these scriptures, they are just telling us all we need to know about love and about how much you love us and how we want to respond because of your great love for us and how we're to love one another. So as we read these words, Lord, and as we think through these words, help us to look at it kind of from a perspective apart from ourselves, looking at us, and how much are we demonstrating truly demonstrating our love for you and our love for one another. And so, Lord, those are tough things to really grapple with in a way, because we would like to think we love you with all our heart. We like to think we love one another totally, and we find out we are practicing, and we don't practice that. Oh, I love that person because they're easy to love, but here's an unlovable one over here that I don't even love at all. Not even at all. And if they're your child, Lord, you love them the same amount as you love me. Yeah. So, Lord, help us to be objective in that, as we would put our own blinders aside a bit and just be focusing on what you tell us in your word. And you give us a lot of different photographs here, a lot of different angles of love. And we want to, with your help and our spirit open to your spirit and our hearts mixed with faith, that we would grasp more and more as we look at this, Lord. So here we are today to reflect back now to you with what's on our hearts, as you would lead us in these moments of quiet and maybe in moments of prayer, if you give us things to pray for. And that we would just, as a little family here, just know that we're all exactly the same, loved by you. You have no partiality toward any of us. And there's no one here that you don't love as much as the one you love the most, because you love us all the same. And that love is unconditional. And because of what you've already done for us, our judgment will never be one of salvation. That's already settled by what you did on the cross, and our receiving and believing that, nothing can take us away from that salvation. But rewards, Lord, we do want rewards. Because when we're in front of you face to face, oh, to come without anything to give at all, how difficult that would be. And we can never give you enough, but you do give crowns. Five different kinds of crowns are mentioned in the scriptures, and we want to live in such a way to have as many crowns as possible. And we want to give them all to you, Lord. The only reason we want crowns is something to give to you, it seems to me. And it reflects us being obedient to your word. And you have said, if you love me, you will be obedient to my word. And so, Lord, we've been looking at that precious word this morning and reading it and holding it a bit. And Lord, help us to just grasp even greater the enormity and the gloriousness of your word, Lord, as you have given us so much to think about here in love. And yet it's impossible to understand more than just a little bit. But help us to understand what you would have us to understand, Lord. So lead us now as we just quietly, maybe we just wait on you, maybe we don't say anything, but or maybe you have things for us all to say, I don't know. But Lord, we want to be led by your Spirit now, these next 30 minutes or so, we ask in Jesus' name. Father, just want to agree with that prayer, and We had that in verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in the world. Lord, we see that. We pray for You to show up, but we also see there is very clear instruction to us that You are opening to us the opportunity to minister to people eternally with regard to their judgment, with regard to eternal torment, with regard to salvation. So critical. And so it's not like we sit around just waiting on You and doing nothing. It means that maybe we look back on how many lives did we impact in 2025. Not that we would say, oh, it's 10 or it's 100 or 1,000 or whatever, but were we available to You? And thinking about Grandpa here for a minute and what to say, the only thing we need to say is what the Spirit puts in our heart to tell what You have done for us. That's the powerful message and cannot be denied, because it's us speaking about what You've done in our lives and the miracle that You have done in our lives. And John even mentioned earlier about the zealots and all that. What are we? We're worse than that. And yet He saved us. If He can save us, He can save anybody. And so, Lord, it is such a glorious message that we have, that You will enable us to give it if we are available. So I just pray for that availability, Lord. And just to have that love perfected in us as we read here, Lord. And thank You, Lord. Father, I thank You for these reminders of the tragedy of bitterness. We think of one of the most intelligent men in Israel was Ahithophel, but that bitterness grew into hatred, which grew into, left unchecked, it grows eventually to death, to murder. And so, Lord, it's only You who can clean that out. But help us to be aware. We may not have outright hatred, but do we have any roots of bitterness? And the root hasn't yet come through the surface. It's there, but it hasn't really broken through the surface yet. But it will if it's not taken care of. And so You've given us the answer. You've given us that we can take it to You and give it to You and ask You to take it away. The unbeliever has no such help. In fact, Satan is reveling in hatred and reveling in bitterness. And so, Lord, help us to recognize that. It's not really the people. It's the power behind them. And yet we can pray for them. Amen. Well, I want to close today with this little Maranatha. There's so many songs about love, and there's most of them are God's love to us. Some of them are love to Him. But here's one that kind of goes two ways. My peace I give to you, and then next. Now, I think that's primarily coming from God to us. He has peace, right?
Yes.
I hope there's some peace in my life I can give to Him. But love maybe is a little more easy for me to understand. My love I give to you. I think we can hardly fathom that profoundness of His love to us. But I think because of that profoundness of His love to us, we're to respond in love, right? So as we sing this, you can take it one way or both ways, however the Spirit is leading you. But let's just sing to Him in close. First, my peace I give to you. And then my love I give to you. It's a love the world cannot understand. It's a love the world cannot understand. Lord, to know, love to live, my love I give unto you. So let's sing this if we might. Father, we thank you for love, and we're kind of overwhelmed with love today because of the teaching of your word, and help us to spend some time alone with you and maybe make it even more clear to each of us what you want us to have kind of on the front burner there with all of the teaching on love that you have in these powerfully packed verses. So we thank you for it. Guide and bless each one here today, and may we make a difference because of you working through us today and each day that you give us that opportunity. You don't need us. You'll save people. You don't depend on us to save anybody, therefore we can't. But you do use us to show your love, and you do use us and allow us to even share in your glory as a result of that. So how great you are. Thank you for meeting us here in Jesus' name. Amen.